This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Back pain is one of the most common reasons that we see a GP, and when it strikes, most of us will try anything to get relief, whether it being painkillers, devices, therapies, or even treatments. But what really works, especially if you're trying to avoid medication or surgery? Well, the largest review of the evidence has just been released, summarising results from 31 studies and over 97,000 people, and it busts a few myths along the way. Joining us is one of the lead authors, Professor James McCauley, Director of the Centre for Pain Impact at University of New South Wales. James, welcome to Drive.
Thank you very much.
I can feel the pain just reading that and thinking about back pain. Yes. this study, it looked at all kinds of treatments for people with back pain. Let's start simple. What's your top message for someone who just hurt their back today, maybe at the gym, and they're sitting listening going, oh my goodness, I need the painkillers?
Yeah. If you've just hurt your back, we call that, in the business, we call that acute low back pain. Now, often when people hear acute low back pain, they tend to think it means something which is really strong or something, but we really mean that's very recent onset low back pain. And what we know about that is that the worst thing that you can do for that, after maybe taking it easy for a couple of hours or maybe a day, is to reduce your activities and try to protect your back for fear of making it worse. What we absolutely know is that people who do that tend to not recover. And the people who manage to get back to their work or back to their activities and slowly increase their activity, they're the people who get better.
That's really interesting because staying active, I mean, it sounds like good advice, but it almost is counterintuitive, isn't it? You think, oh my goodness, I'm in pain. I better not move because if I move, I feel that pain.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And it feels very counterintuitive. That feels like if you've got pain that you should try and protect your body part or the place where the pain feels like it's coming from. But we know that, and that might work for a short period of time, for a very short period of time. But then as soon as a day or two has passed, then trying to get back to your activity as soon as possible is the best medicine that you could have.
What's the best way to approach that? Let's say you do have maybe lower back pain and you're if I move, it really hurts. How do you, I suppose, start that movement again and get back to your normal course of activities?
Yeah, gradually.
Just can't jump into it.
No, and that's a lot of people do make that mistake, actually, and they think, okay, well, I'll just go straight back to the gym, or I'll take up start an exercise class or something like that. And we know that actually those things really do not work. So it's about actually, well, what we've come to understand now, really, it's about the way that you think about your pain, really. And getting back to normal activities is really about normalizing the sensations that are coming from your back. So taking it gradually and a step at a time and gradually increasing your activities is the best way of doing that.
When you say thinking about how we think about pain, how should we think about it?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about pain is that over the last, 20, 30 years or something. Well, 20 years. And so I've been researching for about 25 years. Over the last 20 years, things have really moved on a lot about our understanding of pain and specifically about back pain. We used to think that you could slip a disc, and you hear that all the time, that people slip a disc and that's what's causing their pain. Or as they get older, they get degenerative changes and things are just going to get worse and worse and worse. And you hear people are having a crumbly spine, et cetera, et cetera. And now we know that those thoughts and those beliefs feed into this sense that you have of having a fragile back. And actually, it's not possible to slip a disc. That doesn't even make any sense physiologically. And backs don't crumble. Backs are typically very strong. If you have beliefs and fears about yourself and about your back, then you tend to protect yourself and you tend to not move as much as you should because backs love movement. And after a while, your pain becomes worse and you get locked in this vicious cycle of overprotecting your back, reducing your movement, overprotecting your back again, and then becoming inactive. And I think about my mum. My mum does that all the time now. Of course, I'm a professor and I've studied this for 20 years, but I'm the last person who can tell my mother anything.
Let's get her on the phone.
Yeah. But I can see absolutely how that cycle has happened with her. And this happens with very many people, that over time you start to worry about making, if I get up and I do something, it's going to make it worse. Mm. And if I move, it's going to cause extra damage. I think that's the big fear. And we know that that is not the case. Backs are strong. They love movement and they respond really well to movement.
I love that you've said that, because you're right. There's a fear around protecting your back and, oh, we'd better not damage it. But I love the fact that backs love movement.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In the right direction, I presume.
Well, yes. And it's counterintuitive for if you've had acute back pain. And as I said, if you've got acute back pain, so that's something that's just recent, you might want to like take it easy for a day or two. Like easy, not go to bed, but just take it a bit easier. Mm. But if you've had back pain for a long time and that's chronic back pain, for people with chronic back pain, then movement and exercise even is something which is very helpful. And that really is because that just gets you moving and your back functioning in a much more adaptive way again. And again, these are the people who get better. We know that now
Let's say, James, that we hurt our back. We take a painkiller, which reduces the pain. And then we think, okay, well, we can exercise back to normal because we've numbed the pain a little bit. Is it wise to do that? Or should we do hang on a second. It's not we're masking the pain. So we should go in easy.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. And the interesting thing about pain medicines is they hardly work. The biggest trials that have been conducted globally, and I mean, let's take one of my colleagues from Sydney University. They investigated opioids for people with acute low back pain. Mm. I would have said, if I would have put money on that, to say, yes, well, if you have acute back pain, so that's recent onset, that you take an opioid and you feel better. And I would have put money on that. But when they compared that to placebo pills, there was absolutely no difference at all.
Oh, wow.
So opioids, they don't have the effect that people think that they have. They tend to be, if you use them over time, they tend to be difficult to stop using. Mm. And they cause things like constipation and, you know, over a long time, problems with your heart, et cetera, et cetera.
What about other therapies like acupuncture?
Acupuncture is such an interesting one because, again, I would have, just shows how really terrible better I am. Again, I would have put money on saying that acupuncture probably doesn't work.
Right.
But the review
we're not
that
following
we did,
your advice.
Yeah, absolutely. The review, well, I like to follow the science. So I have lots of biases, loads of biases. But the studies that have been done on acupuncture, so comparing acupuncture to sham acupuncture, so that would be where the needle actually goes back up inside the shaft. So you feel it on your skin, but it doesn't penetrate the skin.
Okay.
So if you compare acupuncture to sham acupuncture, it does actually have an effect. We don't know why. That is one of the big mysteries.
Okay. What about other treatments?
So for chronic back pain, I would absolutely say that the study that the intervention that we have most evidence for is supervised exercise. That will make you feel better, but you've got to keep at it because the effects just disappear straight after the exercise program starts, not just straight after the exercise, but the exercise program.
Right.
And we've developed a program, a new type of intervention ourselves called Resolve. And that is based on a couple of – how long have we got to tell you about this? Because I might take a little bit too long.
We've got about 2 minutes until the news.
Well, we have a completely new therapy called Resolve, and it retrains the pain system. Because actually, if you've had back pain for a long time, what we absolutely know is your system has become just hyper-responsive to normal movements and normal threats. For example, if you move and you feel pain, it's not because there's a threat. It's just because your system has become hypersensitive.
Right.
So we've developed this system of ramping down these effects, ramping down the system so that people's system is normalized and they no longer feel pain. And that's been shown now in a public study that we published in JAMA 2 years ago to have long-term effects over up to at least 1 year.
So essentially, you're making our pain system more resilient.
Well, we're normalizing it because pain is an absolute critical part of us being humans. Its function is to warn us of an impending threat. That's what it's there for. Mm. And we then have to do something about that threat. But over time, the pain system, if you've had pain for a long time, becomes, the system becomes too easy to generate those signals. Ah. It just becomes so easy. And up until recently, it's been very hard to ramp those systems down. Lots of people have tried things like electrotherapy, and we think this might be why people feel better after massage as well. But we absolutely know that the people that one of the critical parts about that to ramp, to dampen down your pain system, is to try to get back to your usual activities as soon as possible. I know that I've said that already,
but obviously it must be the thing we need to do.
It really truly is. But as you said, that's hard for people to do, and it's understanding what the function of pain is, and it's there to protect us, but that your system can get just hypersensitive, and there are ways of calming that down. And that's, I think, we think the future of pain.
James, you've got me fascinated. I want to know more about Resolve. So we might have to get you back for part two of this conversation to tell us how we can dampen down our pain systems. Sounds exciting. So exercise is the key message that's coming out so far.
It is for now.
Fantastic. James, thank you so much for joining us. We've run out of time. Thank you. That is James McCauley, Professor James McCauley, Director at the Centre for Pain Impact at the University of New South Wales.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.